$4.99 per month, all from a company you'll love. Sign up today at Huawei.com. Offer for new customers with a 2-year agreement and auto pay. Equipment, taxes, and fees extra. Subject to change. Restrictions apply.
Paging Candace Dupree. Candace Dupree.
That sounds like a film star.
I know. Or like somebody's going to write a soul song about her or something. But Candace Dupree, you need to write, not just write a song about yourself, but call 396-5477 within the hour. Candace Dupree, call 396-5477 within the hour for your chance to qualify to win a $1,000 gift card from Dylan Rings on Brown Springs Road. What an incredible prize. We're doing the name game for several weeks here, folks. So if you want to register, go to newstalk931.com. Look for the name game banner at the top of the website and put in your information and listen for your name, just like Candace Dupree. Call 396-5477 within the hour to win this $1,000 gift card from Dylan Rings. Coming back, more news and views, 9 to noon. We have a guest in studio here, Jack. Friend of yours.
A friend of mine.
But I've heard tale of this.
My boss every Thursday, and believe me, he flexes his muscle. Bill Britt, who's editor-in-chief of Alabama Political Reporter, which is an online newsletter that comes out every morning around 8 o'clock, chock full of news of what's going on in state government. Every now and then there's a city story or a national story, but primarily it's state politics oriented, and if you want to ever go online and look at it, it's alreporter.com. Bill, thanks, and welcome to the show.
Thank you, Jack. Thank you, Joey. Appreciate y'all having me on this morning.
Well, there's a lot going on in state government.
There always is.
And much of which you can't trust.
Well, you know, we talk about the president going to drain the swamp. This was swampier than D.C.'s ever been down here. I mean, I got a call one year from a friend of mine who's in Louisiana who works for the New York Times covering the politics down there.
Oh, you talking about our friend?
Yeah, he said, Britt, I'm down here in Louisiana, and we're talking about policy, and you're up in Alabama dealing with corruption. He said, how the times have turned. I said, no, we're just looking into them for the first time. there's always been plenty of corruption in the gump.
That's true. You know, recently you broke a story about the contract review board approving a contract for the childhood development part of education in Alabama, having a $999,000 contract, yeah, with Cliff Sims, the guy who used to write Yellowhammer, who went to D.C. and wrote a tell-all book about Trump that obviously bombed.
Yeah, yeah.
And now he's back in the state, and he just got just shy of a $1 million contract with the state. What's that all about?
Well, it seemed peculiar to us because, again, it's a $999,000 contract. Why you leave off that little bit more is probably so you get under some kind of radar, right?
Yeah.
But the interesting thing to us is that the woman who's the head of that department,
Gina Ross,
she was appointed by Governor Bentley, and Governor Kay Ivey has kept her on. Her son was business partners with Cliff Sims. You know, Cliff said that he owned Yellowhammer News for all those years, and then it finally came out that, yeah, he was a part owner, but the biggest owners were two lobbyists, Tim Howe and John Ross, who were star witnesses at the Mike Hubbard trial.
Reluctantly, I'm sure.
Yeah, well, all witnesses at the Hubbard trial were reluctant. as one said, he didn't know he could lie on the stand like the rest of them did.
I was not reluctant. No. I actually went and testified.
You did. And one of your friends didn't even know who you were. But the interesting thing to me is that, you know, Cliff had been out of the state. He came back. He started this media group Then all of a sudden, he gets almost a $1 million contract to do, basically to tell parents that education is a good idea.
Okay.
Now, I don't know how many parents in Alabama think that education is a bad idea. But anyway, so the excuse was, well, just because she was in business with her son and all this, she didn't really have a relationship with him personally, so it didn't matter. And the fact, she actually said that, well, it's federal dollars. And as I remind folks, federal dollars are still tax dollars. You know, I look at it this way. The federal dollars are the first check I write.
Yeah.
The state dollars are the second check I write. But it's still my check. It's the people's money. I hate it when politicians say, oh, well, that's federal money or that's this.
Yeah,
like it's not taxpayer dollars. I mean, it's ridiculous. And this is the kind of thing that I'm surprised that Governor Kay Ivey puts up with. You know, we spoke with the governor's office, and they basically said they didn't have a whole lot of knowledge about this, but that nothing illegal was done. You know, Jack, Joey, we all know there's a lot of things done in government that are not illegal,
right,
but are wrong.
Right. Yeah, they don't pass the smell test.
Yeah, they're just wrong.
And Cliff Sims is not known for having a great background in public education.
No, this is the first time this group he has done anything like this. But again, you know, there was nothing could be done. It was awarded. It went out of contract review. And
how did it get out of contract review?
Well, they did it at the last. They did it at the last of last session. So everybody was tied up in session, looking at what kind of sneaky bills were passing and all that. And so they decided that, hey, we just punch it through. And here's the kicker, Jack. The contract is only for 6 months.
Wow. I wish to God I could make $999,000 in 6 months.
I don't know that I've made $900, that much money in 6 years, but I mean, really, it would be nice.
I wouldn't know what to do with it. But here, we've got to hit a quick break, because that was just kind of a soft opening, like a preview where this discussion is going to go here this hour. So, folks, if you want to join in, 272-9228, 272-9228, Bill Britt from Alabama Political Reporter in the House, Jack Campbell here as always. But now I understand why you're gone on Thursdays, Jack.
Yeah, I'm on a TV show that Bill and Susan are telling me what to do and what we can talk about every week.
We never tell you what to do, and nobody ever has. Not that you listen.
We'll be right back, folks.
How would you like free rent for a year? How about a free vacation? How about a new car? Come into Wind Creek Montgomery now through Friday, October 25th, and earn chances to win in our Rent, Rest, and Ride giveaway. Then on October 25th at 7, 8, and 9 p.m., three players will win free rent for a year, a free trip to any Wind Creek resort, or a Ford Mustang, Ford Ranger, or Jeep Renegade Latitude. So come into Wind Creek Montgomery for Rent, Rest, and Ride.
What's your biggest investment? More than likely, it's your home. So treat it that way when you hire a painting contractor. At PBS Painting, there are no gimmicks, no $99 specials. Just quality painting and someone who treats your home with the same respect that you do. At PBS Painting, we have been painting for years and look forward to many more years to come. With PBS Painting, the job gets prepped properly, whether it's cleaning, scraping, or priming. We always use quality products, which is a must for a quality paint job. So if you're looking for a painter that doesn't need upfront money and is on the job at all times, then please give me a call. Scott Bowers and PBS Painting, 294-5122. That's PBS Painting, 294-5122. Look at some of our work on Facebook at PBS Painting Montgomery.
27 years ago, Steve Wirth rented a storefront in Montgomery and opened the first location of Wirth Cleaners. A lot has changed since 1991. Two buildings and over 20 employees make Wirth Cleaners who they are today, along with Wirth's dedication to its customers to provide top-notch service. Everyday clothes to curtains, drapes, bedspreads, and formal wear, they do it all. Professional dry cleaning and laundry services, same day and express service, professional alterations and repairs, free pickup and delivery to your home or office, wedding dress preservation, superb customer service. It's not only easy to understand how Wirth Cleaners has been successful for nearly three decades, but how they've been voted the best dry cleaner in Montgomery year after year. Visit them today at 125 Brown Springs Road, 7825 Vaughn Road, or online at worthcleaners.com. When it's worth it, choose Wirth Cleaners.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. And on the web at alahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 158-6368, an equal housing lender.
The views and opinions of the following program are solely those of the host and other contributors. These do not necessarily represent those of Liberty Acquisitions 825, Blue Water Broadcasting, its management, staff, or any advertisers. It's time for news and views from 9 till noon, Montgomery's conversational radio show. To join the conversation, call 272-9228. It's news and views from 9 till noon, only on News Talk 93.1 FM.
Small Jean Genie snuck off to the city, strung out on lasers and slashback blazers, and ate all your razors while pulling the waiters, talking about Monroe and walking on Snow White. New York's a go-go and everything tastes nice.
Welcome back. News and Views from 9 to noon.
I'm going to have to get more involved in the selection of music at this show.
You don't like David Bowie?
Really? I'm going to do an intervention.
Jack, we have a good guest here in the studio. We're going to have this fight now.
Yeah, we are.
What are you going to get to David Bowie?
Nothing. There are a couple of songs I like, but not that particular song.
Fine.
Wow.
I've learned a lot about you just now.
Bitter party of one.
Guy used my own line on me.
Well, you know, if it's true, Jack, it's true. You are a bitter, bitter man.
Well, that's all right. No, I'm not. I painted a rosy picture for Montgomery this morning. I'm not bitter at all.
Did you? So it's not like some of the folks said that at the end is coming. You know, we were sitting out on the patio this morning, and there was a bunch of sirens, and Charlie looked at me and goes, "There goes the city."
Yeah, it's remarkable to me, and I don't know. I've used to be in this mode of, if I don't get my way, everything's going to hell, and I got to win the argument all the time. I'm on this big kick, especially with local politics, people over politics, and of course we'll have our disagreements. But when I saw Stephen give his speech last night, or I watched it this morning, this is good. It's positive. It's aspirational. I know there'll be hiccups probably going forward, but generally I'm happy with the result.
Well, and there's, you know, look, you had two candidates. You can find reasons to dislike both of them. And so, you know, we always look at the elections, a lot of elections, we look at it and go, well, it's the lesser of two evils, so we're going to pick one. But I think it's incredible that after 200 years, you got 67% of the voters showed up at the polls and pulled the handle for Stephen Reid. Look, that's the way the process is supposed to work. People make their case, then they come out. And look, we probably had worse mayors, and there is no indication that we have that Stephen Reid is following in his father's footsteps. Now, he's only 45, so he's got time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, he was on here Monday and did a very good job answering questions. And, you know, when he left here, I told Joey, I said, that was a really good interview, and I think he's very well prepared. And then, on the other hand, we had David Woods here at 11 that same day. And getting him to give a clear and concise answer was very difficult.
Yeah, I just think...
And I know a lot of people are shy, and they don't do... This guy owns a TV station.
Right, right.
And he does ads for the show, and he seems very friendly, and he has good ads when he's talking about, you know, watch WCLV and all that. But he just was very inarticulate, quite frankly.
I don't know either one of these two men personally. I've listened to them, and you're right. Stephen Reid ran an aspirational campaign. I think the city of Montgomery needs hope. I think the city of Montgomery needs direction to bring it into a better situation. We are, you know, we live here and we work here, and it is not living up to its potential. You just drive up into Tennessee, and look what they've done to places like Chattanooga, for instance. I mean, amazing place to visit. Montgomery has everything they have, pretty much, or could have,
yeah.
And it just has not utilized its resources well or tried to be, and I use this not in a negative sense, but progressive in the sense of building a beautiful place for people to work, live, and enjoy their lives. We just haven't put the effort into it. And a lot of that comes back to nothing more than, you and I know, cronyism and who gets what. I mean, again, politics is simple. It's about who gets what. And so the people that have been running the city have decided that only the few that are in their friends and family get it, and it's not spread around. I mean, there's case after case that we know of where people had grand ideas, the money, the means to do great things for Montgomery, and they were shut down because they didn't belong to the right club. So hopefully...
Well, you know, I was very skeptical when Brian Stevenson made a big investment in Montgomery with this lynching museum and the up in you know, a very impoverished part of the city.
Sure.
And I said, oh, God, it's going to be a constant reminder of you know, of the civil rights movement, and that's kind of a, you know, divisive issue. But 800,000 tourists came through. Well, I'm not sure they were all tourists, but 800,000 people visited the museum in 2018. That's amazing.
It is, and and it's not a negative for Montgomery. It's not a negative for Alabama. It's listen, we have to acknowledge the past to get beyond it. It's not like they're not trying to relitigate what happened here. They're not trying to relitigate. They're just saying, this is what happened. Where do we go from here? You know, we've talked about it a million times, you and me, Jack, and we've worked with folks over the years. And the first question you ask them is, you know, where do you want to go? Because it's not a matter of where they've been, it's where they want to go. And that's what I think Reed said last night. It wasn't about his plans. It wasn't about him, necessarily. But it's about what's best for the city. And I think that's a refreshing attitude. And I think, you know, we are not proud of the history here, but we acknowledge it. And we say, how can we do better?
Yeah.
You know.
And how can we make money off of it?
Well, you know, that's the bottom line, too. You got to make money. I mean, you know, there are people who work in politics and then people who work for politics. We just got to find more people that don't live off politics, you know.
I mean, it's very interesting. We have right down the road the home where Jefferson Davis lived, right across from the Capitol,
right,
which was moved there. And it's a lot of tourists go there.
Yeah, they do.
And then we have probably a mile away this lynching museum.
Yeah.
I mean, very, very interesting.
Well, you know, Alabama is a very diverse place. It's had a lot of negative history. It's had a lot of history that some people still want to look at and examine. And how do we learn, really? We have to look. And this is a very conservative viewpoint, if you want to take. You know, conservatives always look backwards to know how to move forwards. You know, progressives usually look just forward. They don't take the lessons from the past as often as conservatives.
I think that's a pretty good statement.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's the whole idea of before you knock a fence down, understand why it was put there.
There you go. That's great.
Hey, wow, Joey, that was pretty deep.
Well, I think the Chester.
Depends on, how,
yeah,
depends on
me.
If you use post hole diggers or a real auger.
Oh, true.
Auger?
I hardly know.
You brought it, you auger, right?
Hey, Bill, Cam Ward, senator from Shelby County,
yeah,
an old friend of ours,
yeah,
is running for the Alabama Supreme Court in the Republican primary against a sitting justice, Greg Shaw.
That's an unusual situation. Now, I can tell you, having worked with Cam for well over 10 years, Cam Ward is probably one of the most capable politicians in the state. And when it comes to judicial reform, when it comes to understanding how the justice system works, how prisons work, how just basically the criminal law works, there's nobody that is, I think, better than Cam Ward. And Cam Ward started his career under Bill Pryor, when Bill Pryor was Attorney General, and he then moved to the legislature as
well. He worked at the state party for a while, you know.
Yeah, he did. That's right. I mean, he's just got solid Republican credentials. He's also got an encyclopedic knowledge of our criminal justice system, as well as just the whole area of that. He has led the way on that for years. You know, when they were going to shut, when the federal government was going to take over the prisons, just in the recent past, it was Cam that sat down with the people from DOJ and said, look, we've got a plan. Give us some time, and we can work this out. And their trust in Cam was so great that they've been doing that. Now, there was other people involved.
Sure.
But Cam was leading the way. Now, Justice Shaw, I don't know him that well, but you know what, Jack? He recused himself in the Mike Hubbard case. You know, Speaker Mike Hubbard convicted.
Yes.
All those corruption crimes that he was convicted of. Greg Shaw recused from that case and refused to say why. I mean, we don't know why. What is it in his relationship with Mike Hubbard that we don't know about?
And his wife was state auditor, and I have a real problem with husband and wife teams being in government.
Well, you know, and I don't want to bring up...
And that sounds...
You know, I know y'all had an advertiser, I don't know if you still do or not, but Midtown Pizza, she had a slip and fall over in Midtown Pizza and is now suing them for like $1 million. And it was raining.
Yeah.
From what I understand, I mean, that's kind of weird.
Well, I don't know the intricacies of that case because, you know, folks don't really talk about it because it's in litigation. But, yeah, I mean, you're going to be a good conservative Republican and you're going to sue a small business? I think that's wrong. I'm sorry.
Maybe she knows Cliff Sims. Listen, I don't know anything. I know a lot about Cam Ward. I don't know much about Justice
Shaw. Well, Greg Shaw's been there 20 years.
There's a good reason to go.
Yeah, he worked for, I think he worked for Gorman Houston when Gorman was a Supreme Court Justice. He was like his chief clerk. But
You know, the problem I've got over there, and there's a bunch of problems over there, is that the current crop of justices will just as soon make up law as follow it.
Oh, and yeah, they're an activist court. I know.
They do it all the time. And then they hide behind their Republican bona fides. Well, if you're making up law and you're an activist court, you're not a conservative.
No, absolutely not. Well, didn't it all start with that Cornerstone case when Sue Bell Cobb was Chief Justice?
Yeah.
But she got the Republicans to go along with her.
Sure she did.
On that case.
Because Bob Riley wanted to shut down bingo in Alabama. He wanted to shut it down. And so, you notice that right after they passed that Cornerstone ruling was the first time that court was fully funded in a long, long time. And I'm sure that's a coincidence that they got all their money that they needed. But again, it goes back to the kind of things where we had corrupt governors, or at least in my opinion, corrupt governors, corrupt businesses that paid the Supreme Court by way of donations and trips and stuff like that to do what they wanted to do. And I think this whole thing, listen, my mind has totally changed over the years on this whole situation with bingo in the state. I think that what Riley did was just to profit himself by putting people out of business. The Birmingham Racecourse just put in these new parimutuel machines.
Yeah, tell us about that.
Well, they've been used for a long time, but what it is, it's a machine. You go in and you can bet on horse races. Now, these are horse races that have already run. So it's got statistical analysis there. You can look at it. You can pick your horses. And it's somewhat like fantasy football in that you know the statistics, you know the horses. I mean, you can just push a button and the machine will decide for you, but there's skill involved. And these machines have been legal for a long, long time. Back to Bill Pryor. When Bill Pryor was Attorney General, he gave an opinion that said that anywhere parimutuel gaming was allowed, these types of games were allowed. We've had three other AGs, including our current AG, has said that these are legal. I know there are people out there that are losing their minds over this, but look, Bill Pryor, Troy King, Steve Marshall, and these guys have all followed the law. And that's the important thing here. It's not your opinion or what you think your base wants. It's about following the law. So anyway, they got about 300 and something machines. They were lined up there to play them the other day. And, you know, the crazy thing is Birmingham Racetrack and taxes has paid over $100 million to the state since they opened in 1987. They've given over $55 million to schools. I mean, I wish all our businesses would do that
well.
Yeah,
that
right?
generous.
Yeah, they'd do that well. And the state will get a lot of money off these. Get a lot of money because pari-mutuel is legal in the state, and they pay a high tax on pari-mutuel gaming.
Well, that's a lot of money. Are we going to a break now?
Yes, we need to hit a break.
Well, that's what the nod was. I'm learning you a little better now.
Well, you know, Jack, a nod is as good as a wink to a blind horse.
Well, hey, when we come back, I want to talk about prisons and our problems there.
Okay, sounds great.
As well as the problems with what they're proposing in building the prisons.
Yep, okay.
Well, and folks want to join in on the conversation, have any questions, 272-9228, 272-9228. I hope this David Bowie song pleases you, Jack. If not, we're going to have real problems.
News and talk without the static. The River Region's most trusted voice. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
The Big Bang Gang would like to remind you, the home of Superman is Krypton. The home of Batman is Gotham City.
I'm Batman.
And now there's only one home of the Big Bang Theory.
This will always be my spot.
That's right, only one.
Home.
Because now the
only
place you can see the Big Bang Theory all week long is
weekdays at 5 on WCOV, Fox 20.
We live here.
Yeah! Attention, exciting news. Montgomery, 20 ribeyes for $30 at this big one-time steak sale. Star Steaks, look for the big top 10 and the big truck at the old Cracker Barrel, corner of Eastern and Carmichael. That's right, big steak sale. 20 ribeyes, $30. Plus, on the big truck, New York strips, fillets, T-bone, burgers, ribeyes, prime steak cuts, also marinated chicken breasts, seafood. Everything will be sold today, and you will not pay Omaha steak prices. Last chance, 20 ribeyes, $30. That's $1.50 each.
Are you serious?
Star Steaks. The driver has been authorized to do deals and to move everything that's left.
Ain't fooling around.
And you're not going to pay Omaha steak prices. Vacuum sealed and individually wrapped. Last chance ever at this big steak sale. 20 ribeyes, $30. 20 ribeyes, $30. Look for the big top 10 and the big truck at the old Cracker Barrel, corner of Eastern and Carmichael. Look for the big 10. Star State, EBT, and all credit cards accepted.
Hi, this is Jason with Wholesale Hunter. We've been advertising with Blue Water for a while now. We have great results with them. Appreciate everything they do with us.
Call us at Blue Water Broadcasting and find out how we can help grow your business. Blue Water Broadcasting. Local folks helping local business.
This hour of news and views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. And on the web at alahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368 and Equal Housing Lender.
The River Region's first and only news talk station on FM. Live, local talk. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Welcome back to News and Views from 9 to noon. Joey Clark, Jack Campbell, Bill Britt in studio with us. This part of the program brought to you by Jenkins Tire and Automotive.
Are you thinking Jenkins?
I'm thinking Jenkins all the time now, Jack, especially after visiting with Mike Jenkins down at the shop on 38 East Jefferson Street. Especially if you work downtown, folks, it's a great location to get your car did. If you want especially top-notch, high-quality performance on your vehicle, they service a lot of commercial fleets, which means they have the best technology and equipment to take care of it, but it helps the everyday driver, too. They can do pretty much anything, air conditioning repair, air filters, anything to do with tires, whether installation or balancing or repair. check your transmission fluid, tune-ups, wheel alignments. Oh, and don't forget the windshield wiper blades.
That's my favorite part.
Has that ever happened to you, driving in the rain? Oh, one breaks off? It's a freaky moment on such a simple, cheap part of the car, but it's an important part of the car. So give them a call, folks, Jenkins Tire and Automotive, 265-0792, 265-0792, or you can make an appointment even online, JenkinsTireAndAuto.com, and tell them that Joey and Jack from News and Views on the Radio sent you. I wouldn't be thinking Jenkins, folks. So, Jack, we're going to prisons now here?
Well, yeah, but first of all, we were reminiscing at the break about Milton McGregor, and, you know, I know he was kind of a controversial figure, but everybody knew Milton loved him. I mean, he was so much fun, and, you know, he'd call you to, hey, call me up, Jackson, it's Milton, you mind stopping by? And so, well, what time? And he would tell you, and you'd go to his office, he had this huge conference room right across the hall from his main office. He'd say, come on in here, big boy. He'd shut the door, and he'd say, hey, I want to tell you something. I ain't told another soul this, so keep this between us. Then you would find out later you told everybody. But he was a character and a half, one of the most enjoyable people I've ever been around, seriously.
And, you know, people around parts of the state have a negative idea of Milton McGregor because Bob Riley went after him, and Bob Riley tried to vilify him. He supported Democrats through most of his, you know, career, but he supported a lot of Republicans,
too. He sure did.
And so he was not an ideologue. He was a businessman. Right. And, you know, that's what business people do. But I'll tell you this, when we started The Voice of Alabama Politics, which, you know, is our television show, which, by the way, you can go to alreporter.com, scroll down the page, click on it, and you can watch the show on your computer, or we have a podcast of it, which you can watch or listen to. But interesting, he used to call me almost every Sunday religiously. He would watch a show, and he would call me up, and he'd go, well, I can't repeat everything he would say.
Yes.
But one time, I remember distinctly, he said, I hope you never go after me like that, big boy. And I said, well, Mr. McGregor, if you don't do anything crooked, I won't have to go after you like that. So, but you know, the Sunday that he passed away on a Sunday or a Saturday or Sunday morning.
Saturday night, yeah.
Like. Saturday night. And I got a call from his phone number that morning, and it was Linda, his longtime assistant, calling me. And I thought it was him, and I said, hey, Mr. McGregor, how you doing? And it was not him, and boy, that was some shocking news.
Yeah, I remember.
And we were at his funeral. I've never seen so many politicos, both Republican, Democrat, at one place, and a lot of folks there.
Well, and he was one of those guys that I only knew from the politics, right. And then, you know, you can be a winner too, the commercials, yeah. These sorts of things. But then after he passed, all these stories start to seep out of how much he did for so many people.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, there were people sick that had to go to MD Anderson, and he would loan his plane, and nobody ever knew about it.
Right. Yep. Yeah, he did a lot of things behind the scenes. He was always very kind to me and Susan. You know, there was a time, like a lot of folks in the state, I thought, well, boy, this guy's really done something terrible. And then they didn't convict him. They found him not guilty. But Bob Riley, former governor, tried to make Milton McGregor a villain, primarily, I think, because he wouldn't hire his son. And that's where we are today. But if you want to talk about prisons, there's just so much, Jack. Where do you want to start?
Well, okay, you know, our prisons are under, but you know, the federal courts are breathing down our necks. Yep. And I really do believe, having lived through federal intervention in our mental health system back when we had poor old commissioner named Stonewall Stickney, who lived out on Vaughan Road. So that was his name.
Yeah, and his parents loved him too.
Yes, they did. And, you know, he was hired to be mental health commissioner, and we were under court order, and it was a bad deal back then. And, you know, the federal courts mean business, and if we don't fix our prisons, we're going to be in big trouble.
Right.
And so then Kay Ivey says, we're going to invest in our prison system. And then we get all these, of course, we know they're unsafe, and two inmates, which we'll get to in a minute, have died within 4 days at one facility.
Right, right.
That's some definite cause for concern.
Yep.
But we're going to build these new prisons, and what, only four companies have submitted requests for qualification or something like that?
I think it is four. You know, again, I've toured three prisons in the state. Susan, my wife, and I have toured three of the prisons, and we have been to a maximum security prison, we've been to a minimum security prison, and we've been to Tutwiler. Now, the maximum security prison, for people who have ever read Harry Potter, it is like the Dementors are living there. It feels like this is going to suck your soul out.
Yeah.
Now, the minimum security prison that we were at, it has three dorms about the size of the interior of a basketball court. So it's about as big as a basketball court. There were nearly 400 men in each one of those dorms. 400 men. We were there in the summer, and my car temperature registered 114 degrees, and there was only two big fans in those buildings. Two big fans. Now, here was the kicker, because we went up there with a guy who said, oh, no, there's no prison overcrowding. There's no prison overcrowding. Now, we were in there surrounded by guards, but Susan and I were as close to the inmates, closer than I am to you, because it's just not when you got almost 400 men in a space like that, you're close, baby. And this guy said, oh, I don't believe it's overcrowded. I said, come here, I want to show you something. I said, take us into the bathroom. We went into the bathroom. Again, these are criminals. These are people who committed crimes. Some tough-looking hombres.
Or tough dude.
Two tough dudes. There were six toilets, six sinks, and three shower heads on three poles. So, now, imagine what happens after breakfast.
I don't really want to, Bill.
I looked at that guy and I said, how fast do you think one of these big guys would jerk you off the toilet? He said, it might be a little overcrowded in here. But having witnessed that firsthand, you know, look, we all should be tough. We should all favor law and order. But we can't just be tough on crime. We have to be smart on crime, too. And what we've realized is the federal government has said that our prisons are basically violate the Constitution of cruel and unusual punishment. I talked to Judge Jim Hill, who's now a representative, about this. He's leading up part of the prison reform group in the House.
Where is he from, Huntsville?
He's from St. Clair County.
St. Clair County.
Judge Hill served on the bench for about 20 years, retired, came down here to try to do some good. And he said, you know, Bill, over the years, the way we look at things tend to change. And he said, you know, we started on the bench back in the 80s late 80s. You know, I looked at it, you know, some of these things one way. He said, now that I've been at it a long time, you start to see things a little differently. One of the things they did in St. Clair County, which he pointed out to me, is drug court, alternative sentencing through drug courts. Do you know that they have had, in 10 years, they've had almost 200 people go through the drug court up there with only, I think it's 7 reoffending.
Really?
Wow.
Yeah. In 10 years, they put nearly 200 people through drug court, and only 7 reoffended.
Now, the people that can apply or go through the drug court, it's like minor possession or addicts that aren't, you know, dealing these sorts of things?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. You've got people that may have committed a minor offense, and then they are put in these, or for possession, things like that. You know, I was talking to a senator the other day, and he said, well, I don't know about this sentencing reform or prison reform and all that. And I said, well, Senator, let me just say this. If you've got a guy that's on drugs or a woman that's on drugs, they don't want to steal your stuff. They don't want your stuff. What they want is drugs. You know, your stuff just happens to be the means.
Right.
So how do we figure out to help these people? Now, again, my brother was murdered in a drug deal gone bad. And I have personal hatred for the kind of things that go on with people dealing and taking drugs. All right? That's scarred my family forever. But again, conservatives and Democrats have realized we can't even afford the prisons we got. And so we're going to have to do something about it.
But the process of building new prisons,
that's
what worries me.
Well, and it should, because, you know, like you said earlier, that they put out, Governor Ivey wants to build three big men's prisons centrally located in the state, so they can share cost, you know, and the share resources, right? So that makes sense when you look at the scheme of things. Now, the problem is with that we found with the bidding process, right? So they sent out a request for qualifications.
So a request for qualification is you prove to us that you're capable of doing this?
Absolutely. That's what that means.
Okay.
So four companies came back, and one of the companies, and I can't think of the name of it right now, but one of the companies did not even, there was no background on this company. They had no website. They weren't listed with the Secretary of State. And when we tried to find out what was going on, the Department of Corrections said, oh, well, we have a non-disclosure agreement with all these companies that we can't tell you who they are. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. We're going to spend nearly $1 billion with two of these companies, you know, and we don't get to know who they are? They're like, nah. Crazy, Jack, right?
Well, I mean, this is taxpayer dollars. We ought to be able to ascertain whether or not these people are capable of doing it. And why would the governor even consider somebody who you don't even know who's on the board of directors? You don't know what projects they have done in the past, and they accepted their proposal for qualification.
They were one of the four companies selected. Now, it's not that they don't know who it is. It's that the public doesn't know who it is. Now, we tracked down and some of it. That group, that particular group, is one of the partners in the group is
Harbert. Well, we know they're massive builders.
Yes, and the other one is a group out of D.C. that is basically a funding source, kind of like a private equity group.
And so they'll farm it out because they don't have the capability of doing it.
Right. Well, and the thing is, what you have to understand is what the governor wants to do is she wants to have there will be two companies that will build either two or one of the prisons. And that company will build it, they will own it, they will maintain the facility, and the state will lease it. And that's the way it works. It's a lease-build agreement. There's all kinds of room for shenanigans in there.
No doubt.
But the reason the governor has chosen to go this way, and I think she's right, is because for 50 years, probably we've been trying to get new prisons. We've only got a few. You have to remember that back when George Wallace was the governor, a lot of these prisons were built out of patronage. In other words, they were put in certain... They were not...
A lot of them in Barber County, I believe.
Well, they were put there to help out the community. But anyway, I could go on about this, and I'm sure I'm boring y'all.
No, you're not. We got to take a break. Am I right?
That's right. More news and views.
I got the look.
Yeah, you did.
We'll be back in just a moment. You're listening to News and Views. Our guest today is Bill Britt, editor of the Alabama Political Reporter, and what would you call yourself of the voice of Alabama politics?
I'm the host.
You're the anchor.
I'm the host. It says host right on the front. It says host.
Okay, then.
And every week I go, and I'm your host, Bill Britt.
Right. And
pay
as always.
There you go.
All right.
We'll be back.
He's coming or going. But whether you're going to work or coming home, Greg Budell is there. Mornings 6 till 9 and afternoons 3 till 6. Only on News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Enjoy delicious meat and three lunches that change daily and great burgers and salads at Peyton's Place. Check out Facebook for daily menus and use their drive-through window for call-ahead orders. Don't forget that Peyton's Place offers catering. Peyton's Place on the Atlanta Highway across from Faulkner and now open Sundays for lunch.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. Sure, you can post your job to some job board, but then all you can do is hope the right person comes along, which is why you should try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter doesn't depend on candidates finding you. It finds them for you. Its powerful technology identifies people with the right experience and actively invites them to apply to your job. You get qualified candidates fast. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you what you're looking for. The needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job in ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. ZipRecruiter. The smartest way to hire. And now you can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right, free. At ZipRecruiter.com/work. That's ZipRecruiter.com/work. ZipRecruiter.com/work.
Once upon a time, if you had a water leak under your house or a broken drain line, the only solution was to dig. Don't dig a hole. Call Cole. Cole Plumbing can repair any damaged or leaking pipes without digging in most cases. Cole Plumbing relines, repairs, and renews your pipes and with minimal interruption to your routine. All work comes with a limited warranty. Call Cole Plumbing today at 279-8919. And remember, you don't have to dig a hole. You can call Cole. Call 279-8919 today.
Traditionally, plumbers repair defective water, sewer, drain, and other pipelines by digging holes, breaking into floors, slabs, or walls. This type of destruction is a last resort at Cole Plumbing. With our unique pipelining technology, we can eliminate demolition that causes extreme inconvenience, disruption, and expense. Also, it's safer. So don't dig a hole. Call on Cole at 279-8919 or find us at coleplumbing.com. You'll be pleased you did. And remember, when you have trouble with your bowl, call on Cole.
This hour of News and Views is brought to you by our good friends at Alabama Home Mortgage. Alabama Home Mortgage, 567-4223. And on the web at alahomemortgage.com. NMLS number 1586368, an equal housing lender.
Donald, and this is the Fox Business Report.
Stocks are higher with optimism about tomorrow's trade talks with China after reports China might be willing to accept a smaller deal. Though Shah Gilani of Money Map Press says investors ultimately want more.
If we got some kind of piecemeal appeasement and both sides would agree to, I think the markets would bounce on that, but I don't think it's a sustainable bounce based on that. The markets want a long-term resolution to this before they can move higher.
American Airlines will ground its Boeing 737 MAX flights until at least January 16th. Boeing still has not submitted its final software fixes for the MAX to the FAA. And Nestle says it will sell a plant-based cheeseburger for restaurants and food service businesses to add to their menus. That's your Fox Business Report. I'm Ginny Cosola. Invested in you.
Patrick was way behind on his IRS taxes.
I was in way over my head, just over $30,000. That's when I reached out to Optima Tax Relief.
And how'd it go?
I couldn't believe it. I had to ask like 2 or 3 times. I saved an incredible amount of money.
How does Patrick feel about Optima?
Couldn't be happier. Optima Tax Relief. They're the best in the business.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-410-6744. 800-410-6744.
Optima Tax Relief.
Well, hi, everybody. We have a nice string of days underway this week, and we're looking forward to the next cool front that arrives by this weekend. For today and tomorrow, still warm, high 88 to 90 both days, but tolerable humidity, still dry. Low tonight, 65, comfortable. Friday daytime, high temperature right around 90. Some spotty showers possible Friday night into early Saturday as that cool front moves through the state. Nice air behind it. For instance, Sunday morning low 53, Sunday's high 82. Now that's some fall air. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Live, local talk. The River Region's most trusted voice for news and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
We're back.
Welcome back.
Why do you never turn my microphone on? Because I
Sometimes there's talk going on in the studio, and I don't know what you're going to say, Jack. I'm protecting you from yourself. All right?
Wow.
I don't mean to be a busybody like that.
Well, you certainly are, Gladys Kravitz.
I don't even know that reference. It doesn't even hurt.
She's a nosy neighbor on Bewitched.
Oh, there's a reason I didn't know that reference. Yeah.
Jack, he's too young to have even seen that on Nick at Night.
I know, okay. I know. Kyle was so funny.
And when I say Charlie, I mean Charlie Walker. She's in the studio with us, and my wife, Susan. Charlie's...
Her real name is Chandler, though.
But she goes by Charlie.
Because we have another girl named Chandler, which is very weird.
Right.
Chandler Sims.
Of course, the other day, I called her Charlie, and I called her Chandler, and she said, don't call me that. My name is Charlie. So she's going by Charlie.
Oh, is that right?
Get it right, Jack.
Yeah. Wow, I still call her Chandler.
Persona. And not non grata.
Well, I was going to throw in those two.
I figured you would. I know
you're such a Latin guy, you know.
Well, Jack, I know your shtick, man. I've known you for a long time. I know what you're going to say before you do.
Well, that's scary. Yeah, we kind of know each other well. We have. I've been on the television show, The Voice of Alabama Politics, a.k.a. The V, off and on for 5 years.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's a lot of fun when we... Don't get out of there at 3 o'clock in the afternoon.
Well, Jack, it's show business. You got to do what you got to do.
Yeah, but my makeup starts wearing off by the end of the show.
Oh, you wear makeup on the show? I couldn't tell.
I hope you can't. I get painted up every week.
Yeah, I know. They use a putty knife for me. Got to fill in the cracks.
I heard Johnny Carson say something absolutely hilarious.
Now, who was he?
Don Rickles was his guest.
I never heard it.
And he said something to Carson about, well, we're all getting old. He says, look at you, Johnny. He says, you're a lot more wrinkled than you used to be. And you could tell it really kind of ticked Carson off. Because he snapped back, he said, wait a minute, you got a face that could hold a 3-day rain.
Like a Sharpay, right?
Exactly.
What do you say we go to the phones, guys?
We have Fred on hold. Fred, welcome.
Fred, what's up?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just was just turned over, so I missed the first of the conversation, but I was listening to Mr. Britt talk about the prisons and how the governor's plan about the building the three big prisons. And I was just going to comment that I remember back in the either late 70s, early 80s, the state went under federal court order. And there were a lot of prisons built because of that. It kind of frees up the legislature to release money to be able to build the prisons because they can say, look, our hands were tied. We we had to do this. Federal government come in and said we had to do this. So sorry about your road money, but we got to spend it on prisons right now.
Well,
do you remember, Mr. Britt, that the state of Alabama built most of the prisons we've got today in like a 10-year period, like in the starting the 80s, 70s, late 70s, early 80s, and built them by the 90s. They were about done building. The biggest prison in North Alabama, is Limestone, and
right.
Then they built St. Clair and West Jefferson.
Right.
And then they came on down and built Britt and Clear and Clow. All these prisons, Staten was built in 78. So all these prisons were built. So it can be done. I know times have changed and things have gotten a lot more expensive, but another thing is they spread them out all over the state. So the workforce was, they already have a problem getting workforce anyway. But
sure.
when you spread it out, say you or me or Jack wanted to be a correctional officer and we had to move to North Clanton, North Chilton County to get to the nearest prison to work. We don't want to sell our house and move up there, but if there's prisons locally scattered out like they are now, gives you a little better chance to seek employment with them if you wanted to go that route, So I guess what I'm saying is I don't really like the idea of having to just build three mega prisons, and have everybody converge on those three spots. I know what she's thinking, maybe spread them out north, south, and in the central region.
Right.
But still, that was my comment.
No, and it's a great comment, and I think you hit the nail on the head when you said that back then the state was under federal mandate. I love Alabama. It's my home. But I often say it's the make-me state. We have to be made to do these things. And again, we've always been tough on crime and we'll remain tough on crime. But at some point, you just have to, and having been in those prisons, and St. Clair is rough. I mean, that is one of the rough ones,
well,
man.
St. Clair is where they had the worst riot to date so far.
Yep.
is St. Clair. There were a lot of people hurt pretty bad in that ride.
Well, I can tell you, I don't know many people that would. I don't know many of our lawmakers that would last a night in St. Clair. I mean, that
especially if knew the prisoners knew they were lawmakers.
Yeah, well, there you go.
That's right.
But that place is tough, and. But I agree with you on what you're saying. I just, again, I think the governor is trying to do what she's doing because she has few alternatives. Because once they start meeting with the legislature, you know, nobody wants to give up the prison because it's jobs. And so nobody wants to give them up. And so you can't get people to decide on it. And the other part of it is, listen, nobody wants to spend taxpayer dollars on prisons. It's just not that popular.
Never have.
So it's a tough sell either way. We'll see what happens. I think the federal government is serious about this. I don't think they're playing this time, but we'll see.
Well, you know, I maintain I'm a good conservative, and I'm a throw the book at them kind of guy, and, you know, lock them up and all that. But we have to be smart about it. We have to, you know, I believe in sentencing reform, where the punishment fits the crime. But I also believe that if you're going to incarcerate people, they have to be in a humane atmosphere. And the problem is 400 people in a gym with two box fans ain't going to cut it. That is not humane.
Well, and it's unsafe for the correctional officers, too.
Yeah, I mean you, tensions fly, and, you know.
I mean, you can't, when you're standing in there, because there are bunk beds, you cannot see what is going on in the back part of that building. And, you know, we all walked down from one end to the other so we could see what they couldn't see. And you could murder somebody back there and you would not know who murdered them. I mean, there's just no way.
Oh, yeah.
Our correctional officers have one of the worst jobs in the world. The average age of a person who works in corrections is, by the time they finish, they die at 55. That's the mortality rate for correctional officers who makes that a career. That's a national statistic. It's one of the correctional officers said to me one time, he said, Brett, you may think they're in prison, but I'm the ones in prison. He said, they're just locked up. Yeah. I'm in prison with them.
That's right. I retired from there. I was one of the lucky ones. And like you said, when we started the academy, the instructor comes right out first day and he says, okay, so we got 40 people in class today. We'll be lucky if we can salvage two of y'all to retirement.
Wow.
That kind of is discouraging, you know, when you hear that and you're thinking, man, I'm gung-ho about this and all of a sudden he's going to tell me that.
Yeah.
But I was fortunate, you know, I was able to move around and do different things inside instead of sitting in the dorm the whole day for 25 years. I was lucky enough to move around some, so it wasn't quite as bad for me. But Jack's right as far as the, you know, humane treatment. But, you know, when you really think about it, you just keep throwing back to the construction workers outside working every day. They're working, actually, not just sitting around.
Yeah.
They're working up a sweat. And your military, you know, they all kinds of different conditions, you know. And you just really think, man, if they can do it, these guys can do it, you know. Yeah, I agree. They need to get more box fans if that's the case. But, you know, as far as air conditioning, give them, you know, the federal government requires them to have 80 square foot apiece to live in. So the math.
We don't need all that. I mean, that kind of thing is just.
Oh.
Look, I'm not for air conditioning the prisons and giving people a feather bed or any of that stuff. It's just you committed a crime. We want you away from society. The prisons are for punishment and hopefully for rehabilitation, but